Amen. All right, when Christ shall return in the fullness of glory to receive his own. All right. Just turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. and beginning to read in verse 51. And if you're able to, please stand in honor of reading of God's Word. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 58. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. May God add his rich blessing to the reading of his holy word. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Dear God, we just thank thee for thy word, that we can be encouraged that there's coming a time when this life will be over in terms of physical life on this earth, but spiritual life begins at the new birth, being born again. By the Spirit of God, we have eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so eternal life begins at new birth. And so being absent from the body and present with thee is just a transition that is just a glorious blessing and a hope that we look forward to. And we pray that we'd be able to share that exciting news to others as well. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, please be seated. So the conclusion is verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so the encouragement is that we have a hope, we have something to look forward to, and that is eternal life free from the presence of sin. If you're born again by the power of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, you are free from the penalty of sin, and certainly God gives you the power to overcome sin with the full armor of God that he provides. And we look forward to, we're not free from the presence of sin, and that's something we look forward to, and it's the blessed hope of us that are resting in Christ, that the joy that we have in the Lord right now will even be greater in that when we see him face to face. Doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So the title for the message this morning, The Rapture versus the Second Coming. And sometimes people get confused if they're just beginning, especially the young ones maybe, or some that haven't really studied this or looked into it too much, the difference between Jesus Christ's coming in the air to receive his own, or his coming to stand on the Mount of Olives physically to take charge and to come in power and glory. And so we look forward to, as believers in Christ, we look forward to Jesus Christ coming, whether to receive us after we've died or while we're still living, those that have died will be raised, shall be raised incorruptible, and those of us that are living, we shall all be changed. We've reviewed some of this before in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Just want to just quickly turn there, 1 Thessalonians 4. And in 1 Thessalonians 4, we saw a few points there that the rapture is an event in which the dead in Christ shall be raised. So if you look on verse 14 through 16, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then so that's the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So this event is where the dead in Christ will be raised. So their dead bodies are in the grave. We just were at a funeral yesterday. I'd forgotten about it, and it just sort of just learned about it. I think, I can't remember, was it Friday night or Saturday morning? And oh, there's a funeral to go to. So we went to a funeral. So she had lived a life of professing Christian service to the Lord and had a good celebration of her life, 90-some years old, 92 or 3 or something. Okay. Anyway, a good friend of the family. And so what a wonderful homegoing, absent from the body, present with the Lord. There are some that believe, there's some cults that believe that when you die, your soul is just sleeping there with the body, and just waiting. But the scripture is clear, being absent from the body and present with the Lord. Our soul just goes to be with God. The body is just dead, might even be burned up and all that. But we know that, remember the valley of dry bones and all the bones came together? I don't think that was just could be just a vision, but could actually have been a reality, because we did discuss this in the past about several places in the scriptures where people have been resurrected from the dead. So what's the distinction between all those that were resurrected from the dead, the Old Testament and New Testament, and the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. What's the distinction between the Lord Jesus Christ and others being raised from the dead? Lord Jesus Christ never died again. All these others died again. Now, so just a little review there. You get another gold star, but I don't have my box of stars with me. Okay. He was a winner in Sunday school class this morning. Okay. Secondly here, the dead in Christ are presently with him in heaven. And that's in verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So they're sleeping in Jesus. God will bring with him. So they're not here. They're with him. He will bring, when he comes, to bring them up to the resurrected body. Second Corinthians 5:8 says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Philippians 1:23, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. It's Philippians 1:23. So, a couple of scriptures that really indicate that when we die, our soul goes to be with the Lord, and the body waits for the resurrection. Thirdly, the rapture is the believer's hope and comfort. in verse 13 in this 1 Thessalonians 4. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That's talking about people that have died. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. So he's writing these things so that we would not have this kind of sorrow of the world, those that have no hope. And verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. So these words are meant for comfort and encouragement. That this life that we may have trials and tribulations is not all there is to our existence. There's something far better. The rapture is the believer's hope and comfort. This is that for which we are waiting. We are not looking for the Antichrist. We've been talking about the Antichrist in the study of Revelation. We're not looking for the Antichrist. We're not looking for the Great Tribulation. If the rapture did not occur until the end of the Great Tribulation, it could not produce hope and comfort for the believer, for the Christian. There's hope and comfort to know that we're not going to be part of all that. There's sufficient persecution. I can't even imagine what the Great Tribulation would be like. Can you imagine? We've read some things about persecutions in the past. And Jesus made it clear that there's what's coming in the future is far worse. But we're not looking for that. We're looking for Christ to take us to be with him. And lastly, here in this passage, the rapture occurs before the day of the Lord's wrath. And that's in the continuing on in chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So as a thief in the night, there's going to be no signs of his coming. It's going to be a surprise. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Remember the whole armament in Ephesians? Giving three things there, a breastplate. Two things, the breastplate and the helmet. Verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So, these words are for our comfort. Looking forward to being caught up to be with the Lord if we're still alive, or to be resurrected and caught up to the Lord first, resurrected from the dead. So today, this morning, we're looking at a new passage. We haven't really spent too much time looking at 1 Corinthians 15, but it's another passage talking about the resurrection. And so the rapture is a mystery that was not revealed in the Old Testament prophecies. That's the rapture. However, resurrection was. And we looked at that this morning again, and we've looked at it in the past. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. So Michael stands up for the children of thy people, that's Israel, for the nation of Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since that there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So we know that in the Old Testament prophecies, they did know that there was a resurrection of the Jews at the end time tribulation, but they did not see the rapture of the New Testament believers before the tribulation because they didn't know about New Testament believers, about the church. They didn't know that. And secondly, here in 1 Corinthians, the dead in Christ will be raised to incorruption. And so behold, I show you a mystery. And that was the first point, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. So the mystery's been revealed in this passage. And what is it? We shall not all sleep. We shall be all be changed. Okay, so they had that in Daniel. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And so the dead in Christ will be raised to incorruption. That means a body incapable of pain, incapable of sickness, incapable of death, and or dying. And the believers who are living at the time will be changed from the mortal to immortal, incapable of dying. So the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal, so he's talking about living people at this point, this mortal, prone to die, must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And so, the rapture is an encouragement and motivation to godly service. And that was the conclusion I was talking about here in verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, what about this question about the last trump? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, some people confuse, just because the words are the same, doesn't necessarily mean they're talking about the same thing. And we've had that discussion before. But just to remind us here, this last trump that it's talking about here is not the same as the trumpets of judgment on the world that sound in Revelation, or the trumpets that sound in reference to Israel. Now, in Numbers 10, verse 7, and all of, actually, the book of, or the chapter 10 of Numbers, talks about the use of trumpets. They were supposed to build two trumpets of silver, all of one piece, silver trumpets, these two silver trumpets, and one was for, well, anyway, there's a distinction there between sounding an alarm or sounding for gathering. But when the congregation, so verse 7 of Numbers 10, when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. So it's the gathering. And I'm of the opinion, I'm thinking that there will be some sound that those in Israel who have not trusted Christ for salvation will recognize. But that's just I don't know how much. It just seems that, well, we do know that there's going to be a trump. For the trumpet shall sound at this resurrection and rapture. So we see the rapture demonstrated here in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15. And we've discussed in the past that there's different opinions as to when the rapture will take place, before the tribulation, or midway through the tribulation, or just before some distinction before wrath, which we believe it's before wrath, but we believe the wrath of God begins at the beginning of the seven-year tribulation. At least that's what we're teaching here. And then, of course, there's the post-trib rapture. But we teach and preach here the rapture before the Great Tribulation. Church-age believers are promised salvation from wrath. And in every century, Bible-believing churches have been persecuted. But this is different from the Great Tribulation that the Lord Jesus Christ talks to us about in Matthew 24 and other places. The persecutions of the saints are caused by wicked men and the wrath of the devil, whereas the tribulation is a period especially pertaining to God's wrath. So it's God meting out wrath on Israel and the nations, but in particular on Israel for having disobeyed God in their assignment to be a testimony to the world. And of course, they are a testimony even in that God has not forsaken them as a nation. God will complete his program through them as a nation. But there are individuals in the nation of Israel that are lost. They will be destroyed and not be saved. There are individuals. And I think that's a parallel to us in a personal way. The accusation, the accuser of the brethren, Satan, says, how can you save this man? Can you imagine, like King David? How come King David gets saved and others that do far less than him? How can he be saved? He committed adultery. He murdered the lady's wife, the lady's husband. How can God save that man? I'm way better than that. Well, it's not based on how good we are. He acknowledged his sin, and he recognized his sin was ever before him. But it's not our righteousness that saves us. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's trusting in him and casting our whole being on Christ and on his shed blood that we could be seen as the righteousness of Christ through him before the Almighty Holy God, which is blessed forever. The Holy Spirit of God will be removed before the tribulation in terms of believers in Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2. Verses 6 through 8. And now we know that, now we know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. And we did go into discussion with this at length. A lot of people get hung up on what that means about he that letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. In tennis, when a ball hits the net, it's called a let. In a British passport, to pass freely without let or hindrance means without hindrance. So the word let in this context means hindrance. So he that now hinders will hinder until he be taken out of the way. And that's the Holy Spirit of God. In Acts 1:8, we're told that the Holy Spirit of God was promised to the church so that they could have power to become witnesses. Acts 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and into all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world. Uttermost part of the earth. When I read that uttermost part of the earth, I read that literally. It just thrills me to think where these children of Israel spread all over the earth, spreading this gospel by the power of God. And I believe that literally. It's really interesting to listen to Vance Nelson talk about the common symbols and common architecture and common technology all around the world that happened from the dispersion. And the dispersion from Babel, it literally went all over the world. So in Acts, that's what happened, Acts chapter 2. And so this was unknown to the Old Testament prophets, the church age. And thirdly, this church age believers are promised mansions in heaven. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The rapture of the church saints is imminent. Paul in Philippians 4:5. Says, Philippians 4:5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Titus 2:13. Timothy, Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing. They were looking for it, the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. James 5, 8 and 9. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. So a lot of these verses, the Lord is nigh, the Lord is soon coming. This is 2,000 years ago. I have no problem understanding how people who don't really study the scriptures would read that and go, okay, yeah, maybe all the prophecies have been fulfilled in 70 AD. And that's what we've discussed that before, right? That all of Revelation has already been fulfilled. Problem is, if it's all been fulfilled, they can't really pinpoint as to who was what, like who was the Antichrist and who was different, like they come up with different names. So it really wasn't clear cut. This 2,000 years has been an interlude. It has been a valley between mountain peaks that the Old Testament saints did not foresee. And that's how Paul expresses it. It's a mystery that was unknown before. 1 Thessalonians 1:9-10. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come, and so to wait for his Son from heaven. So they were waiting. Churches are not waiting for the Antichrist, but for Christ himself. In each of these cases, Paul is talking, James is talking, Peter is talking. Well, we didn't go to Peter. Peter 4:7. So he was Peter 4:7. 1 Peter 4:7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. So they were waiting for the appearing of our Lord and Savior. They were not waiting for the appearing of the Antichrist. They were not waiting for the appearing of the great tribulation that Jesus Christ talked about. They were waiting for Christ himself, and so too we are waiting for Christ himself. The church is a mystery that was not revealed in the Old Testament, and we talked about that, but now in Ephesians 3, 3 through 6, Ephesians 3, 3 through 6. And so this is how that by revelation, the Apostle Paul is writing, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed, unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. And then Romans 11:25. These are all familiar passages that we've talked at length about. But Romans 11:25, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. So he's revealing the mystery. Lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so we read about that fullness of the Gentiles coming in Revelation 10. And so that's why we see, I believe this is in the future, pardon me, not in chapter 10, but chapter 11, verse 2 there. The tribulation pertains to God's dealing with Israel and the nation, the great tribulation that's coming pertains to God's dealing with Israel and the Gentile nations, not to the church. The book of Revelation shows that the church is not on earth during the tribulation. The church is not seen on earth in chapters 4 through 18. We know the church is spoken of in chapter 1. Churches are spoken of in chapter 2 and 3, the seven churches of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Those seven churches in Asia, modern-day Turkey. The church is not seen on earth in chapters 4 through 18. Revelation 7 and Revelation 14 talks about 144,000 of the tribes of Israel that will be witnesses during the tribulation. 144,000 of 12 tribes of Israel. Chapter 11 talks about two witnesses that witness from Jerusalem, and they have all the characteristics of Old Testament Jewish prophets. Revelation chapter 12 talks about the devil persecuting Israel, not the church, during the tribulation. And so there are false teachers attempting to build their kingdom on this, kingdom of their God on this earth. You listen to a lot of preachers, they're building the kingdom of God on this earth. That's because many of them believe that all the Bible has been fulfilled. And so they're going, okay, it's all been fulfilled in 70 AD. So we're kind of left on our own now to do it ourselves. And so we have this modern day, which isn't so modern, but it's just a new way of saying it. They have this new apostolic reformation thing going on where they're getting messages. They claim they have messages from God, new revelations. And I would declare that that is false teaching and false preaching. They're seeking to build their own kingdom of God on earth. So there's an importance of understanding that we're looking forward to a rapture where the church is being caught up. And it looks like I'm going to have to leave this second part here. So we've got the rapture versus the second coming of Christ. And so we'll call that part two for next time. But in the rapture, we're being caught up to be with Christ. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And at that time, we understand that there's going to be a judgment seat of Christ. And the participants in this judgment seat of Christ are born-again believers, not for the unsaved. And so some people get confused and are thinking, if you don't have the right works, you're going to be lost. No, these are rewards for people that have been faithful in this life. And so we don't fully understand everything, but we do know that that whatever you've done for Christ that is will be last for eternity will be rewarded, and things that are wood, hay, and stubble will be burned up. And so it's not a time for grief as much as it is time for joy, in that God was able to use frail human beings to do his work. Because he could do it without us. Why not get saved and then just get raptured right away? I got saved? Oh. Well, and the Apostle Paul even says, it'd be far better if he could just get caught up. But he says he's here for our sakes, for the church's sake. And so that's what it is for us, too. We want to serve the Lord in this capacity. And it's to bring glory to God, what he can do through frail instruments to his glory. And so we'll carry on with more of that next time. But the conclusion that I started with is that last verse in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. And it's the scripture for the week that's in your bulletin. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so, just as an encouragement, do not be discouraged in well-doing. God is able to provide, and we can encourage one another, because we know that there is no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. And so that's something in common. That's an encouragement that's common to us too. Common temptation, common encouragement. So may God bless us as we venture out this week to serve him and bring glory to his name. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Dear God, we just thank thee for thy word, this exciting thing, this mystery that was revealed almost 2,000 years ago, the mystery that we shall not all sleep, and those of us that are alive at the coming of the Lord will be caught up together Those that are in the graves will rise first and be caught up to be with the Lord, and then we'll be caught up, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then you'll work out your working with the nation of Israel here on this earth. And wow, we've seen a lot of just amazing things in the past as we look at just the amazing miracles. You demonstrated your power throughout the Old Testament, how you redeemed your children from Egypt in such a powerful way that Egypt themselves have not forgotten that to this very day. And so we understand that you have an agenda, you have a plan, and it's really, really quite exciting that we can be looking into all these things. And it's just wonderful that we can have this hope of meeting you soon, being caught up either alive into the air, or our life is such a short life. Our life is but a vapor. It appears for a little while and vanisheth away. And so we recognize that whether we live or die, we'll live unto thee, and we look forward to meeting you. Then we shall see you as you are, and we'll no longer be looking through a glass darkly. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.